good evening. Good to be with y'all again this evening. You will, while I'm spending a minute talking here, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42 with me, if you will. We looked at the first night the need to recognize our need for revival. We looked a little bit last night about what things, most important things that we need to do for revival. And tonight we're going to look at, or began to look at, should I say, the results of revival. I will say this, that in my life, I have experienced revival. I have seen God work mightily in my life. I've seen Him work mightily in the lives of others, even in special services like we're having here this week. And that is my prayer as to what takes place, that through my feeble attempt of preaching the true Word of God, that He would take that Word and touch the hearts of each and every one of us, that we might indeed experience these results of revival if we haven't already. And I pray that some of us have, or I pray all of us have. But when the Lord does a work, when He revives His people, there will be some things that come about in our lives, some things that happen to us, some things that take place to us that I pray happens. There are five results that I want to share with you tonight. By God's grace, we're going to look at the first two. We're going to look at, I don't want to give them away. Let's just get into them. Psalm chapter 42. We're going to look at these two results tonight through the eyes of two individuals, the psalmist and Paul. So we're first going to look at this first result through the eyes of the psalmist. In Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this: "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" The one of the most important results of revival is going to be a renewed desire for God. Something I believe that is lacking in God's people today is a desire for God and the things of God. But there's some things that we want to look at in these two verses that we need to understand when it comes to this desire. He says, "My soul panteth after the Lord." My life, my body is how it's translated in the Hebrew. My whole self panteth for God. What's that word panteth mean? It means longs for, cries for. Now bear with me because I'm going to break this down. The words long for means to have a very strong desire or a yearning for someone or something. The word yearning is an intense desire for someone or something. And that word intense even goes further and says an extreme desire for someone. Folks, I define these words for a reason, because we need to understand what needs to be in us. And that is a strong, intense, fervent desire, yearning for more God and yearning for a sweeter relationship with Him. That's what revival brings about. And the child of God, it causes us to desire God more. It causes us to want to desire to be closer to Him, to walk a better life for Him. Look what he says next in verse 2. He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" There's two things that I want us to see here concerning this desire. And that first is thirsting. We saw what my soul meant. My soul meant me, my whole self. But that word thirsting means this: to be very thirsty for. But then it also says this in the Hebrew: to suffer thirst. Now I want us to consider that for just a moment tonight. That word suffering thirst. The word suffer means to experience or be subject to something unpleasant and painful. I thought about that as I looked at this word. It ought to be painful and unpleasant to us because we don't desire God more in our lives. That's what the psalmist is talking about. He says, "It pains me because I can't get close enough to God. It pains me because my desire for God is not what it ought to be." Amen. And he says, "I'm suffering in that." That word thirst means a feeling of needing or wanting to drink of something. He says, "I'm hurting so bad, I want to drink up as much God as I possibly can." The word need there means requiring something because it is essential. The word essential means absolutely necessary and extremely important. Folks, the most essential thing and the most important thing
to us as a child of God is that God Himself and His Word and the things of God, and that ought to be our desire. That's what the psalm is. That's what the Bible says. That's what we need to have in us. God, His Word. They're absolutely necessary. And we ought to desire them as God's people and as His churches every day. It ought to be extremely important to us that we study, that we pray, that we seek the things of God. In that word, thirst is there. We saw that it meant to suffer. He was being subjected to an unpleasant feeling because he didn't desire God enough, he thought. He was in pain because of his need and his desire and want to drink up as much God. Folks, we ought to want and desire to drink up as much God as we can all the time. We ought to thirst for Him and His Word all the time. I thought about an example myself. I know Brother Clint has played football. He's probably done 2-a-days, 3-a-days, just like I have. 90-degree, 100-degree weather. Folks, there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can quench your thirst like water. Drink Gatorade all you want to, drink pop all you want to, but there is nothing that will quench your thirst in those times like water. There is nothing that can quench our spiritual thirst but God. And that's what the psalm's talking about. He needed that spiritual thirst to be quenched. He had a spiritual desire and a spiritual thirst for the things of God. Psalm chapter 63. I meant to mark these so I could get to them quicker and beat you to them, but I didn't do it. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry land, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. As I read that verse, I thought about this. There is so much in this land and so much in this world that we as God's people try to fill ourselves up on and quench our thirst with that has no effect on us whatsoever. It's ridiculous. The only thing in this world that will quench that spiritual thirst is God. But I wonder tonight, are we really truly thirsting, as the psalmist says, after God? In Psalm chapter 38, verse 9, the psalmist says this, Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. All of my desire is before Thee. That means, look, folks, can I explain something to you real quick? And I'm satisfied somebody told you this before. When you see the word all in the Bible, it means all. There's no other definition for it. It means all. Completely, wholly, everything. He says, all my desire is before God. All of my desire is for God. Psalmist says he wasn't desiring other things to fulfill his spiritual thirst, but he was desiring God. Look at Psalm 143 real quick with me. Psalm 143, the Bible says this, verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. That word Selah was put in this position in a psalm for there to be a pause for you to think about and to consider what was just said. I want you to pause tonight and think about what I'm saying to you. Revival should bring about a true thirst and desire for God in and among His people and His church. It's indeed a needful result for us as God's people today in revival. And I pray tonight that we go away from here with a true thirst and desire for the things of God. The second thing that you see back over in Psalm 42 is this. He first said, my soul thirsteth for God, the living God. But then he says this, when shall I come and appear before God? The words come and appear before God is talking about a seeking of God. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. The word seek means to desire to obtain more of something for self or someone else. Now consider that for just a moment. What are we truly seeking in this life today? And who are we seeking it for?
Folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. Let's just be honest with each other. People are seeking worldly things in this life for themselves that we live in. Are we seeking comfort and happiness, joy, riches, money, nice things? And are we seeking them only for ourselves? That's what it seems like people in the world today are doing. However, what we should be seeking after is God. The Bible tells us that if we'll seek after God first, everything else will be added. Here's where we get confused and mixed up. We think that everything else that's added ought to be, I want what I want. This is what I want. This is what I desire. No, it means what God knows that we have need of. And that's all that we should concern ourselves. But we as human beings have gotten to the point where we've become so comfortable in the niceties of this world that that's really all we consider. Somebody asked me the other day, said, well, do you think it's wrong to have nice things? No, but do those nice things take the place of God? Are those nice things all you're concerned about? My brother-in-law, he's saved now, but he always used to say, he who has the most toys when he dies wins. Them toys don't do nothing for you. It's not wrong to have toys. But do the toys take the place of God? Are the toys more your desire than God is? For me. See, what we should be seeking in this life is more God. What we should be seeking in this life is a better life in Christ, not only for ourselves, but for God. Because really and truly, we were, now listen, I preached this the other day, we were saved for a reason, and that was to glorify God. We weren't saved to go and live a life like we want to live. We were saved to live the way God would have for us to live. To glorify Him. To honor Him. To serve Him the way that He would have for us to. That's what we ought to be seeking. And I truly believe that if a child of God is revived, that's what they'll want to seek. That's what they'll want to seek. The psalmist gives examples of this all throughout Scripture. There's many places that I could go, but I want to give you two. If you go to Psalm 27, Psalm 27, verse 8 says this, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When was the last time our hearts truly said, thy face, Lord, I'll seek? He says in Psalm 119, if you'll turn over there with me real quick, Psalm 119 and verse 10 says this, listen to this please, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Well, let me explain this to you. The wandering from the commandments is what caused it all. And he says, please, he says, don't let me wander from your commandments anymore. He says, I'm going to seek you with my whole heart. Folks, that's what we need to do tonight, is seek God with our whole heart. With all that we are. Seeking Him, pursuing after God. Does the Bible not say, seek ye first the kingdom of God? That's the needful result of revival that we need in our lives tonight. Is a desire for more God and a desire to seek God more. Rather than the things of the world. The second result that I want to share with you this evening. If you will, go ahead and turn on over to Psalm 51. And this is the big one, Psalm 51. And verse 10. Everybody probably can quote this verse. But the Bible says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, the second result of revival ought to be a renewal of our focus on God. A renewal of our focus on God. He says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Let's see this exactly what that means. The word create means to make something. Psalmist saying, listen, Lord, make in me a pure and moral heart. The word heart means mind and understanding. Right and pure in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of men, not in the eyes of myself, but in the eyes of God. He says, cause my focus to be you and you alone. He says, renew in me a right spirit. That's defined as to rebuild or to repair. It says a stable life and mind. Let me explain to you what the word stable means. It means steadfast and sure. I think that's a word that God's people ought to go and study sometimes. Steadfast. Unmovable. Why? You've seen these little cartoons and movies, people that walk up to somebody and go, and they fall over. Is that not how we've become today? Easily pushed away. Easily drawn away by the things of this world. Blame it on whoever you want to. But we're the reason that we go away. We don't have to give in to those things. But the psalmist is saying, please, Lord, renew in me a right heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Create in me. How many of you remember that? I may have made mention of this the other night. Those of you who have been to Main Street Baptist Church. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. How many of you remember that? Folks, that's what that is saying. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Make my focus what it ought to be. Because it's been so unfocused for so long. Everything has to do with our focus, I do believe. Where our focus is where our hearts are. We focus on so many things in this world. Our focus has been on so many things in this world for so long that it's so out of focus that we have become unstable Christians. Psalmist says, Lord, fix me. Clean up my heart. Clean up my mind from all the filth that has accumulated in it from this world. The things that have caused me to get out of focus. All the things that I focused on, everything and everybody but you. He says, remove those things from me and cause my heart to be clean and my focus to be renewed. Seems today, in the day and age which we live in, it has become so easy for us as children of God to become unfocused. I have quoted this or used this many times, and you all may know exactly which movie I'm talking about. One of my favorite movies. He's taken captive by a bunch of samurai. Probably already know which movie I'm talking about. And through this captivity, he actually starts to become interested in the samurai. And the samurai are trying to teach him how to use a sword. And he gets the snot beat out of him. I see grins already. You know what I'm talking about. If you remember, as he's getting the snot beat out of him, this one little kid comes up behind him and says, you have too many mind. He says, what? He says, you have too many mind. Mind to this, mind to that, mind to this. Focus on the one thing. Folks, we've gotten too many minds. Worried about this, minding that, minding this over here when we should be focused on God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face again. And the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I use it all the time because I truly believe that if we would focus on God and keep our focus on God, we would begin to start worrying about the other things in this world less and less. A renewed focus. That's what we need. That is a result that revival brings. We have gotten in this lifetime, and this may sit once those two it has on me. We have let so many things distract us from serving God. It's pathetic. TV, sports, phones, iPads, internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let's make a list here. Yeah, absolutely. Me. Hey, look, don't take this the wrong way. I appreciate those that have taken Facebook and are using it for a platform to cause the Word of God to go forth. But when we're not using it as a platform to cause the Word of God to go forth, what are we doing? We use it too for all the wrong reasons. People use the TV, they use social media, phones, they use it for all the wrong reasons. They want to get on there and they want to argue. We want to get on there and we want to argue. And here's my biggest thing. We want to get on there and prove somebody wrong. It's all about proving somebody wrong. It's all about making somebody look like a fool. Just so we can say, hey, I'm right and you're wrong. Get on there to gossip.
make fun of people,
so on and so forth.
I myself admit that in times when I should be spending time with God, I find myself with my face buried in my phone. Somebody said, it might have been your mom. Walked out here the other night and said, if I come back, I'm wearing steel toes. So many things in this life have distracted us from serving God. There are some words that are spoken in the New Testament that we need to take heed to when it comes to this, concerning this. If you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The reason that I said that I know a few minutes ago is because as I'm saying that, my wife's sitting back here going, I got you. I know, I get it. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35 says this, "This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." He says, without distraction. Attend upon the Lord. Attend upon the things of the Lord. Pay attention to God and what He would have you to do. Pay attention to His Word. Folks, when we have true revival, God will renew our focus, and we will be able to focus on Him without much distraction. Question is, do we want to be free of the distraction? Do we want to be free of all the things in the world that distract us? I'm just as guilty as everybody else, but we say we do, and then the very first thing that we do, the second church is over, sometimes even before church is over, I don't have mine in my pocket, but I check to make sure ain't nobody messaged me. Gotta check to make sure ain't nobody sent nothing. Gotta check to make sure, wait a minute, gotta check the weather. I know I do it too, but hey, we need less distraction and more focus on God in our lives. And true revival will bring that. When a child of God is revived, when the heart is revived, they'll want to focus on God and not the things of this life. We need to focus. We need to turn away from the distraction and turn away from the things of this world and focus on the will of God for us in our lives. And I can already hear, I don't know what the will of God is for me in my life. I'm not sure what God's will is for me in my life. Can I give you the answer to that? Right here. That's the will of God for you in your life. Serve Him with everything that you are. Be focused on Him. Be focused on His Word. Everything else will fall into place. Everything else will be what it's supposed to be. But oh, how much time we spend fretting over how things ought to be rather than focusing on God and letting Him take care of everything. His will and focus for us. Being faithful to Him. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a focus problem in my own life. I have a hard time focusing on things. I have a hard time keeping my attention on things. Be sitting over the office trying to study or trying to read the Bible, and that's the perfect time that everybody wants to call. That's the perfect time that everybody wants to text. What I should have done or should do is go. But instead, the first thing I'm going to do is let's see what somebody's got to say about somebody today. Or let's hear what he's got to say about this person today. Or, yeah, let's talk about this and that. My focus is supposed to be on God in my life. All of my focus. All of my attention. Our focus has been so messed up for so long that we... Listen, I'm going to give you... When your focus is right and your eyes and mind are upon God, and you're concerned about God's will in your life, and your life is somewhat lined up with the Word of God, you will be a blessed individual. But the second that your life is not any of those things, you'll be miserable. And I'll give you the example of that in my own life. There's been many times God has said, Scott, I want you to do this. And I fought it. I fought the call to preach for over 2 years.
And I was miserable. Matter of fact, my wife said, "Why do you keep fighting this?" Of course, she looked at me and she said, "I didn't want to be no pastor's wife." She said, "But why are you fighting this?" Because I was more concerned about what I wanted. I was more concerned about what I thought was right for my life rather than being focused on what God wanted me to be focused on, and that was Him. There's been several times the Lord's told me, "I'm done with you here. You need to go somewhere else." And I fought it. I remember one time, not too long after Wendy and I got married, we lived in Science Hill. We were at Main Street. The Lord had been dealing with me to leave Main Street for a long time. Not anything bad against Main Street. There was a purpose for why I left. There was a ministry that I needed to be in. And I fought it. Main Street was comfortable, folks. For me and my family and my wife. That's where family was at. That's where friends were at the time. God says, "No, you got to go." How long did we fight that? I don't know. One day I broke down in the kitchen of the trailer in Science Hill and said, "I can't do it anymore." I had lost my job. Everything started to fall apart. And the second that I said with her that day, "Lord, I surrender," it was like there was a peace that came over me, and everything started to fall back into place. One thing right after the other. Folks, our focus, when it's off, our life is off. Because our true focus is supposed to be God. What is focus? I didn't even define focus. The word focus, listen to this, means utmost, careful, full attention on something or someone. That, my friends, is what we need. Utmost careful, full attention to God and Him alone. God has taken a back seat in many people's lives when He should have the front seat. He should have the wheel. We spend too much time driving ourselves because we want to be focused on what we want rather than what God would have for us. We need to be fully focused on God. And keep our focus on God and on the things of God. Look with me real quickly, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read to you a few verses, skip around here just for a second, but these verses are needful for us to hear. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth." Then you skip down and you look at verse 17. It says this, "And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." And then verses 23 and 24 says this, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Yeah. Revival will cause us to take our focus from off the things of the world, and our attentions and our affections off of the things of the world, and put them where they truly need to be, on things above. On God, on the things of God, on the kingdom of God, on the things of God yet to come. But where is our focus? Sad to say, most of the time, on the things of earth, not on the things above. Sadly, most of the time, on the things of men and not on the things of God. Revival will cause us to have a renewed focus. So as we get ready to draw to a close here, I'm going to share with you one more portion of Scripture that is very important for us to take heed to tonight as we consider the results of true revival. Turn with me one last place to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We looked at the result through the eyes of the psalmist. Now we're going to look at it through the eyes of Paul. Verse 7, the Bible says, "But what things were gained to me,
those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Look at verse 13. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for prize the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let me explain to you what Paul says here. Paul says some things here that would behoove us to listen to. He said, all things whatsoever that they may be, he says, I count them lost for Christ. They're gone. His focus was not on those things that were behind him, he says. They were on the things that were before him. He had forgotten those things that were behind, all those things that didn't matter. And his focus was on truly what mattered, and that was the things that were before him, which was the things of God and God's kingdom, which was to come. He says he reaches for those things before him. His focus was no longer on worldly things or desires of the flesh, but his focus was on God and the things of God. That's where we need to be. Right now, tonight, count it all the loss. From this time backwards, forget it. The Lord, our God, is a God of second chances, and I believe tonight and in these services this week, that's what He's giving us. A second chance to get where we need to be. Forget the things that are behind us. Forget even the things you did a little bit ago. And start right now to look forward and focus on God and Him alone. That's what true revival, I did it again, revival. That's what true revival will bring. It'll bring a desire, a strong desire for the things of God and a better focus on the things of God. And just honestly, folks, we need it. I need it. The question is, do we desire it? Do we really want it? Do we really want a new focus? Do we really want a new our desires to be renewed? I pray tonight that God would indeed, as we looked at the other night, disturb us and stir us up. That He indeed would revive us and cause our desire and our focus to be on Him and for Him and Him alone. Brother.
Passage Brother Scott read there in 1 Corinthians 7.